بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله يأمركم أن تؤدوا الأمانات إلى أهلها صدق الله العظيم وعن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم ربي يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير وبك نستعين يا فتاح يا فتاح يا فتاح. Respected brothers, elders, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. A very eventful past couple of days and weeks resulting in yesterday's London mayoral elections. I'm not going to get into the politics of things. I'm not qualified, and many people have their own opinions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant a positive outcome for us Muslims in the UK. And this was obviously off the back of a number of worrying incidents in Hainault, the sword-wielding man who unfortunately caused a teenage boy to pass away. And subhanAllah, sword-wielding, what is that kind of, you know, what's the meaning behind a sword-wielding man? Why is it so difficult to say a murderous man, or perhaps in some situations he could be deemed as a terrorist? But again, we are proven time and time again that is, you know, where your kind of your background is from. Otherwise you're mentally ill. Sword yielding, it gives the connotations of something heroic, something from a fairy tale. This was one of the subtitles. And again, similarly, a similar attack on Wabel Lane, another teenager lost his life. So these are incidences around us that we may be aware of. However, there's one incident that took place, it's been developing, but initially a few weeks ago, which many of us may not be aware of. In a school near our community, not too far away from us, I don't want to mention too much details, there was a young girl, 14 years of age, she lost her life. But she didn't only just lose her life, she took her own life. 14 years of age, a very, very worrying incident, something that should send shivers down our spines. But sometimes we think that this is not something very relevant to us. This is perhaps a non-Muslim and they have their own baggage. We understand, you know, their levels of depression. We have all the solutions, etc. But however, this young girl, 14 years of age, she came from a Muslim household and she was a Muslim herself. And she had her own siblings. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant ease to the parents in this very difficult time. How, you know, how can they, you know, Allah knows best a person in that situation, how they react. May Allah grant them strength. May Allah grant them steadfast in their iman. Ameen. Now subhanAllah, you take this incident and you look at what happened a few weeks before that. We see a young girl with the support of her mother, of her parents, of her family. She was able to draw so much strength from her family, from her parents, that she was able to take on her own entire school and take them to court over her religious duty. Such amazing polarized incidents in a matter of weeks. What does that show you? It shows you the difference between a person growing up in a, you know, welcoming, warm, friendly environment in their home where they feel strengthened by their parents. They feel that comfort of their parents. They feel that they are people that they can go to them for any situation, any problem they're facing, they can speak to the parents. And their parents, they give them that support as well. And they strengthen themselves mentally, physically, whatever it is. But subhanAllah, how devastating. Now, I'm not going to say that this particular incident, whether the young girl came from an unsupportive home, you know, it could be a case that there was potentially a good upbringing. But these are not isolated situations. These are, of course, this might be one instance, but we might be thinking that this is just one situation which doesn't really happen. But however, my sister-in-law, she's a governor in a particular school, she mentioned that since January up until now, there have been four separate situations of suicide that have taken place in our own very communities. So this is not something that just happens once every 10 years. So what we see is these are concerns that you and I should kind of pay heed to. And what are the underlying issues that are potentially giving rise to such devastating and horrific outcomes. A lot of times, yesterday I was in the Uber taxi driver and we was having a conversation. And I was saying to him that we teach young teenagers because a lot of times they're involved in certain habits. And I mentioned something which most of us are probably not too surprised by, that 14, 15-year-olds, they engage themselves in relations with the opposite gender, and na'udhu billah, they, you know, get up to whatever they do. The driver, uncle, is a bit older. He was surprised. He was shocked that, oh, such young people, 14 years of age, right? There are still people within our communities that instances like this, they are finding surprising. They're still finding that shock factor. How can anything surprise you in this, you know, what does that show you? It shows us that sometimes we are completely oblivious. We are very oblivious to the realities of our youngsters, our children. Now, what kind of, you know, how can you relate to your teenager? How can you relate to your children? How can you give them some sort of stability where they can find their identity and feel confident in their identity as well, when we are not in tune, we are not synchronized with our youngsters, with our children? It's very worrying. It's very, very worrying. So going back to the point, just this was a little kind of short story. It tells us that sometimes we have strangers in the living room. We are living with strangers. You give your child a mobile phone and they're on their phone and you ask them, who are you talking to? What's their response? No one. What are you doing? Nothing. Okay, brothers, I'm very sorry. We have to cut this. Take a short interim. BMW 330D. Your car is on a single yellow blocking the pathway. SC67YSV. Kindly please remove your car. Nothing personal. Please don't take it in the wrong way. I don't like saying anything in a negative light. But inshallah, for the betterment of our communities, so that we can have a good reputation, good rapport with our neighbors, right? Especially since the fact is we're only, you know, restricted to 150 capacity. If we are to have any hope to increase and grow, then this sort of stuff, it, you know, plays a massive part in denting that chance. So brother, please, if you can kindly park in an appropriate place, that would be much better. In fact, if a person was to do something like this and they try to have the intention, they come into the salah, then your reward is completely diminished. It's better for you to not harm others and you come late. At least you find your Jummah, you haven't stepped over any individual. Sometimes in the masjid as well, you have a spot right at the front, and people, what do? They cross over the shoulders of individuals to get a front spot at the bottom. You've diminished your reward by doing so. Find a place and you just sit where you are. This is the qadr of Allah, right? ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. That Allah says in the Quran that this is the fadl, this is the bounty of Allah. Allah gives to whomever He wills. Don't try to force a good outcome at the expense of harming other individuals. This is just a generic point. Anyway, coming back to the main story. That we have strangers living in the living room, unfortunately. They're completely out of tune with their realities. I was saying, you give the child a mobile phone, what's their response? Straight away, they're going to say to you, oh, nothing. Oh, I'm not talking to anyone, it's just my friend. But the reality is, you might see on the screen, it says Abdul, but it's Fatima, right? They'll have these tricks. You know, they'll change the name of a young boy into a girl's name. You're laughing, smiling, perhaps you probably experienced something like this. But this is true, right? What are our children going through? What are they feeling? What are they experiencing? You know, my child is only 7 years old, but from very early, like when he was able to start articulating himself and speak about his feelings, experiences, a lot of times you kind of are encouraged to say, you know, take an interest in your child, what they're learning in school, right? So then the first thing that you say to your child is, oh, what did you do at school? What did you learn at school? But a child who's very young as well, and sometimes they are not really forthcoming with their expressions, they're not going to give you a completely satisfying answer that tells their reality. So you should try to word it in different ways. So what I do is I say to him, what made you feel happy today? So then what he's got a feeling that he can now reference it to a situation in school. So if I said to him, what made you feel happy today in school, then now he's able to give me a better answer. And I say to him, is there anything that made you upset today? So then now he's able to give me a better answer to say, okay, this made me feel a bit upset. In playtime, this is another time where you should really take an interest. Who did you play with? Okay, who are their names? What are their names? What are they like? If you take an interest in this sort of way, then you can really build that rapport. You can really make a solid, firm relationship. But what happens when they reach teenage years and then, knowledge comes. Now you've had my talk over here, and now, you know, the spark has now been ignited. Now you're going to make the effort, and then you're going to expect a quick kind of, you know, result. It doesn't work like that. A tree doesn't grow overnight. It has to be, you know, seeded. It has to be, you know, watered. It has to be nurtured. And then it has to be slowly, slowly, you know, nurtured and strengthened in that sort of way. Subhanallah, a young man, he asked a sheikh, "Sheikh, my child is 3 years old. How do I do his tarbiyah?" What does the sheikh say? He says, "You're 3 years too late. You're 3 years too late." And we're thinking that 3 years is a very tender age. You still have a lot to kind of build and instill within inside them. Of course, there's still a chance. But what happens? What is the reality? The reality is that your thought process for your children should have started during your selection process of who you're going to marry. But what is our reality? You go to school, you go to college, you go to university, you fall in love with a girl, and then bish bash bosh, and that's it. You live an Instagram married life. Right? Unfortunately, this is what we've reduced our marriages to. We haven't even paid attention to the long term. Right? Just satisfying our lust, our desires, and reduced ourselves to this. Subhanallah, marriage itself was to curb our indulgence. It's to curb our, you know, breaking out into excess. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he addressed the youngsters that whoever is able to now take care of themselves and their spouse, now get married. Curb your desires in this sort of way. So then it brings focus to your mind, and then you can now be a contributing individual to your community. You can do something positive. But what have we done? We've married people to now, you know, let our indulgence grow and grow and grow. Tangent, apologies. So anyway, what happens? The selection process. You should see what is the qualities that I would like to see in my future mother of my children. What are the qualities? Do I see this woman who is now on Instagram, who is, you know, doing makeup, spending, you know, however long it takes, and then presenting herself to the rest of the world? Is she a suitable candidate to be a mother to my children? Right? Whatever it might be. We have to start thinking from there. And on top of that, even before marriage, there are so many du'as, plenty of du'as you can say. رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنَ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us what kind of ambition to have. وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Don't only just make us imams. Make myself, my family, my children, imams, leaders. But make them the leaders of the muttaqeen. Make them the leaders of the pious, the righteous. This should be our ambition. But unfortunately, when we just live a life that is just self-fulfilling, selfish life, indulgent life, then these kind of illnesses are bound to pop up. And these are now becoming a lot more frequent, because now we are living in a lot of prosperity. And they say that good times create weak men, and weak men go through hard times, and then hard times create strong men, and the cycle repeats itself. We should take heed from these kind of lessons and try to challenge it. These kind of things, these kind of points, it should act as a reference point, and we should do something proactive about it. Going back to the situation, our home, what is our home life like? Subhanallah. When I was saying to you earlier that a child doesn't feel like opening up, we have to create an environment where the child can come to you to say anything to you. Even if that might, you know, I have caught feelings for a person, for a particular individual. Now, you know, given our background, this is blasphemous, right? This is blasphemy, like a person to utter such words in front of the parents. I don't know about now, but in certain times and places, you get whacked, you get beats. This would happen. This would take place. Now, what's happened is we ourselves, we use what we went through as a measuring yardstick. He said, we went through the same. They should be able to handle it. They're getting away with murder. And we justify our wrong practices in this way by saying that we went through similar things. No, we're getting it completely wrong. That was just a method to instill a value. You have to separate, distinguish what are the core principles and values, and what are the methods and the tools that are going to be employed. There's a very big difference. A stick doesn't yield the same results every single time. That is just a method. Perhaps it may have worked for particular people because their society, their environment was such that, you know, everybody else was going through that. So they didn't see it as something different whereby they're going to start accusing their parents. In fact, some people that they had harsh parents before, they start realizing the effects and the positive outcomes of that, and they start thanking their parents that they give them such levels of restrictions. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, "Anzilun nas manazilahum." Treat the people according to their status, their level. Subhanallah, the word anzil, what does it also mean? It means to come down. So what does it mean? Come down to their level. Come down to their level, see things from their perspective. See what they're going through. Try to understand the reality of it all, and then come up with a solution. right? So many things we can talk about. But just to kind of stay on that point about separating principles and values and the methods and tools that are employed. There are certain key principles that we should, of course, never compromise on. They should have to be maintained throughout the course of history. And this is what will create people that have a level of discipline, level of self-control, some level of honor and dignity and a strong sense of deen inside them. Without compromising on these, then inshallah, you will have children that are, you know, upright role models in society. But now the main kind of focus is on what kind of methods and tools do I employ? Now you're talking about children that are, you know, in social media. They're seeing, they're talking, they're a lot more articulate. They don't have that kind of language barrier. In most places, some still have that kind of issue. But because there was a language barrier in a lot of our times, there were different challenges, right? We didn't know how to articulate ourselves. We didn't know how to kind of communicate in that sense. So because we have ways to communicate, it shouldn't be a case that all of a sudden, you know, you pull out a stick, it's completely out of sync, out of tune with what they're going through. What you're doing is now you're creating some sort of barrier and block in their mind. That, you know what, there are too many barriers over here. I can't really be myself in a conversation with my mother and my father. I can't really speak to them openly. This is very, very sad. In fact, the real conversations they're having in terms of what they're going through, who is it happening with? It's happening with inexperienced, immature young children, to put it bluntly. Okay, they're having these real conversations with inexperienced, immature young children. If I say, you know, I say to my students that the friendship circles that you have right now, be very, very just kind of touch and go with them. Because what would you say? Would you say your 13-year-old, 14-year-old friend, they are mature, they are experienced, they're going to give you valuable advice? If that's not the case, then hold on in terms of giving your complete allegiance to that individual. Maturity comes a lot later. But if you force yourself to become loyal to a person who is immature, then you're stuck with that person no matter, you know, what orientation they take in life. And you're just stuck, you're forced there. This happens. You make friendship circles in secondary school and sometimes your interests, they change, but you kind of still keep in contact. So what happens? True friendship will come when you put yourself in the environments of people that have good, solid values and they want good for you. They have maturity. Make those people your friends. So anyway, they're having these kind of conversations with them, and then you have all of this other, you know, buzzwords going around. You know, that person is toxic, this person toxic. You have cancel culture and these kind of things. You know, people think that they can completely remove people out of their lives. These are kind of things that are taking place amongst adults as well. So much, you know, going wrong. Protect your own. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. Now our priority is with ourselves and our family members. Save yourselves and save your family members from the fire of Jahannam. This is our responsibility, and we need to take that with full responsibility and accountability. The earlier hadith I mentioned, كُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْؤُولٍ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ. That every single one of us, every single one of you, you are a shepherd. And you are going to be asked in regards to your flock, in regards to your responsibility, that how did you maintain those people that had a right over you? That, you know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَنْ وُلِدَ لَهُ وَلَدٌ, whoever has a child that is born for them, فَلْيُحْسِنْ إِسْمَهُ, then he should give him a good name, وَلْيُؤَدِّبْهُ, then he should grant him mannerisms. And then once he reaches a level of age, فَلْيُزَوِّجْهُ, then he should marry him off. Very concise and comprehensive advice is Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, that give them a good name. Subhanallah, names also have an effect on the children. The name that you give, it kind of has an effect on their mannerisms, their conduct, their behavior. That's why the best of names are Abdullah, Abdul Rahman, or the names of the Anbiya, the names of Sahaba, not, you know, Liton and Tipu and this and Lesu and these kind of things. Right? We have all these kind of different names. You have to give them a good name. And then afterwards, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, well, yu'addibhu, and then he should also teach him good manners. Give him adab. Give him akhlaq. These are very, very important values. Values, and give them a mind to think with. Let them, you know, give them some sort of way of deciding what's good and bad for them. Have conversations like this. Think to yourself, what are the types of conversations you have with your children? Is it just a case of telling them what to do every single time? If you're telling them to pray, if you're telling them to read Quran, how are they going to appreciate and understand and respect what this treasure of deen really holds? Subhanallah, this treasure of Islam that we have, the treasure is there. The value is not different. But however, beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. A person who sees this, they understand its value differently. Every single individual sat here, you value certain things differently. So we need to clear our lenses. We need to grant ourselves or bring some knowledge into this as well and see and understand how can we nurture that into our children as well. How can we make them fall in love with salah? How can we make them fall in love with reading the Quran? How can we make them value what it means to have good speech and good conduct and good akhlaq and not telling lies and all these kind of things, right? Sorry, I mentioned quite a few things going off topic. So then we were talking about that they're going to have these kind of real conversations with their friends. So what should we do? Try to facilitate good friends. Try to facilitate good friends. But how are you going to do that when we're living in isolation? If we're just living in our homes and we're living in a bubble, you have to be part of a community. You have to make yourself part of a community that is of a positive influence. As they say, it takes a village to bring up a child, to nurture a child. You can't just do it on your own. You have to have a good support system, a good network where you can kind of thrive off of, and you can take help and assistance and tips from other people as well. And subhanAllah, a lot of people, a lot of men, you know, seen, they go through a lot of type of depression. They become a zombie. Some men, they just don't know how to deal with situations because they're alone. They don't have this inside them of expressing and talking about real hard-hitting situations because they feel like it's violating their manliness. It feels like, you know, they're going to lose some credibility by talking about these kind of issues. But we have to be part of a community. And masjid is the place that inshallah we can do that. But we have to start building this community. My brothers, there's how many people here today? But the reality is, come every salah time, there's nowhere near enough, as much of you guys, as much as myself as well, in the masjid. It starts off slowly, slowly. Bring yourself, just be present first and foremost. And then let things happen naturally. Like, you know, you create networks, you create friendships, you start talking to one individual, you realize that he's got a particular background. SubhanAllah, we tried this kind of fitness program. It's still a bit shaky, so inshallah, brothers, after Sunday, after Zohar, we tried to have this little program. Join on a Sunday, inshallah, we'll kind of make that grow, inshallah. But anyway, over there, when we done that, there was one brother, he came, and he says he's got a background in nutrition. SubhanAllah, that's such a valuable asset, such a valuable skill set to now be able to contribute to the community as well. So like this, by just being around, being on the radar, you're able to now be at least within a chance of being part of a community. When it comes to marrying your children off, in the last part of the hadith of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he reaches a good age, then he should marry his child off. What you're realizing over here is that the duty of finding a spouse is not on the children. And we kind of are brought up in the Western society that, you know, arranged marriages and this sort of stuff. How can we know? How can we trust the individual? And a lot of times, old people as well, the people that are in their 20s, even they have become skeptical of, you know, arranged marriages. They don't know how it works. They think that they have to go on a few dates, they have to really get to know one another, and then afterwards they get married, right? So the duty is not on the child, the onus is not on the child to find someone for himself. The duty is on the parents. The parents, they find someone that is suitable, as shown in this narration of the Prophet ﷺ. At the same time, if someone does bring a suitable proposal, then that's absolutely fine as well. But the child is only going to do that. A lot of times, our children, they bring their own proposals, but we don't hear about it, or they don't bring us into the conversation as parents. Why? Because we haven't allowed a open kind of environment for them to speak and discuss these sort of stuff. Make that environment, create a level of friendliness. Big, big scholars, big, big ulama, they themselves, they say that I want my child to be able to discuss anything and everything with me. There are nothing that is off limits. There's nothing that's off limits. Everything can be discussed. One time, for example, my friend, you know, when he takes his children to the park, actually I was saying to him that, you know, my child is playing with the friends in the neighborhood. And then he said, oh, if that was my child, I wouldn't really do that. And then at first I thought, okay, this is a bit kind of, you know, exclusive, this mentality, you know, a bit closed off. And then he said to me something which kind of made me think that I want to be my son's best friend. I want to be my son, I want to play my son and make him feel that he just needs me and he's happy with me in all circumstances, in all situations. I'll play with him. I'll do everything with him. This is kind of mentality that we need to have. So then what you've done is you created that bond and your child would now treat you as a friend. Of course, there are boundaries. There are manners of respect. For example, Allah says in the Quran, وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ, that don't even say uff to your parents. So after having said all of this, it doesn't mean that we have to be so airy-fairy and kind of everything goes. There has to be boundaries and limitations. But you have to set that in place in good time. You have to choose the right moments. Not at the moment where something is just done and straight away you rebuke that individual. You wait for a time. You use a bit of wisdom, a bit of hikmah. Right? You find a time. A lot of times, bedtime, just before they go to sleep, where things are a bit mellow. Find a time like this. Have a discussion. Have a conversation. And say, son, whatever, whoever it is, daughter, there are certain things that, as you know, we should have value for. There are certain values that we need to instill within ourselves. And then you kind of navigate yourself through that. Right? So just, you know, to wrap up, number one, our parents and how we were brought up, we have to separate and distinguish what were the core values and principles that they were trying to bring, because that doesn't equate to the methods they employ. We need to now start using different methods. We can't just use the stick, or we can't use certain practices. But those whatever practices should go back to instilling the core principles that should remain. And number two, we need to create an open environment where there's two-way conversation. But at the same time, having said that, there has to be an establishment of boundaries and levels of respect that cannot be crossed, trespassed, so that the children, they're given and everything that they want and they have, and this creates a different type of problem. Right? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhan bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta wa nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Hayya ala salah, hayya ala salah, hayya ala al-falah, hayya ala al-falah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illa Allah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Brother, inshallah, there will be collection for the masjid now. And just a couple of updates regarding, which is last week, the Imam has announced, and also just to let you know, this is for the only for the sisters. The sisters are from the 9th, which is on Thursday, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. They will teach how to wash a body. So any our loved one passed away, they will be teaching classes for the from 10 o'clock till 1 o'clock on the 9th, on the Thursday, which is next week Thursday. So please send your, if anyone over 16, so there will be adult classes. So inshallah, the sisters will take place on the main hall. And there are little charges for that as well. There's £5, that money will go to the masjid. So the sisters are arranging that, please, please help them or contribute them, or please send these messages to your friends and loved ones. Even if they're not living in Chad Welheath, even if they're outside Chad Welheath, Dagenham, Ilford, Seven Kings, tell them to come join and they will see how it's working. I think it's very, very important to know when our loved one passed away, we need to wash them and how we're going to do this, especially in the ladies' side. The experience, the sister who's coming, she normally voluntarily work in a Brick Lane Masjid. So she will be one of the teacher. But inshallah, we'll do one for the men as well. So inshallah, we'll have a word with our imams, and inshallah, they will arrange one for the men as well. And also, there will be a Hajj classes, or the Hajj camping, how to perform your Hajj. So that's also is a season coming up, and I think everybody are very curious to know, even if they're planning to go this year or maybe next year. Or even what we've done already, maybe we go to Umrah every often. So we need to know a lot more about it. And this is going to be classes will be from on the 12th of this month. On the Asr, start will be just after Asr Salah. So inshallah, please join us for that purpose. So inshallah, there will be a lot more classes. And according to, we'll let you know. And the other thing, I just want to add one more thing up. About the brother, the reason we say single yellow line, you know, there's a post on the Christie Garden and a Primrose or a Roxy Avenue. Before the post, please do not park, because it's a single yellow line. And the reason being, because when the people car go in and when they're coming out, they can't do that because there's not enough space. So that's the reason they put the post. If that's where the cause problem, and you're willing to get ticket anytime. But that's what they look for it. Now is almost a year coming up, is our renewed time, and we already had a few complaints about that because we are blotting the entrance. So I want to make it clear, when you park your car, whether you have a disabled badge holder, it regardless, is not allowed to park before the post. So please, brothers, bear in your mind, especially on the left-hand side, I saw a lot of brothers, they leave it their cars behind the post. Please go forward or go bit further down, you will find the parking. So any of those roads, especially, as I mentioned, Primrose, Christie Garden, Roxy Avenue, these few roads are our neighbors. Please, please do not park before the post. It says clearly, don't park. Even if you do, you'll get ticket. But when you come to the masjid, we always do in the rush time. But please, even our security guard told a few times our brothers that they just want to ignore that. So please, brothers, do not ignore it. Please, you know, be attention when you leave your cars outside the masjid. Please. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Hayya 'ala salah. Hayya 'ala salah. Hayya 'ala falah. Hayya 'alal falah. Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. La ilaha illa Allah.
الحمد لله الذي غمر صفوة عباده بلطائف التخصيص طولا وامتنانا وألف بين قلوبهم فأصبحوا بنعمته إخوانا ونزع الغل من صدورهم فظلوا في الدنيا أصدقاء وأخدانا وفي الآخرة رفقاء وخلانا ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين اتبعوه واقتدوا به قولا وفعلا وعدلا وإحسانا. أما بعد، فإن المحافظة على الحقوق العامة منهم الخاصة من أفضل القربات، وبمراعاتها تسفو الأخوة والألفة عن شوائب القدورات، وقد ندب الله ورسوله إليها، فقال الله تعالى: ولا تقتلوا أولادكم خشية إملاق، وقال تعالى: وبالوالدين إحسانا وبذي القربى واليتامى والمساكين والجار ذي القربى والجار الجنب والصاحب بالجنب وابن السبيل وما ملكت أيمانكم. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: لا يرحم الله من لا يرحم الناس. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: المسلمون كرجل واحد، إن اشتكى عينه اشتكى كله، وإن اشتكى رأسه اشتكى كله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم: وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم. الحمد لله، نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة. من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد، ومن يعصهما فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك، وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات، وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر، وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر، وأصدقهم حياء عثمان، وقضاهم علي، وفاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة، والحسن والحسين سيدا شباب أهل الجنة، وحمزة أسد الله وأسد رسوله رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين. الله الله في أصحابي، لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي، فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم، ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم، وخير القرون قرني، ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم. اللهم أيد الإسلام وأنصاره، وأذل الشرك وأشراره. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى، واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى. اللهم انصر من نصر دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، واجعلنا منهم، واخذل من خذل دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا تجعلنا منهم. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم انصر إخواننا في فلسطين. اللهم انصر إخواننا في جميع بلاد المسلمين. اللهم احفظ الحرمين الشريفين والمسجد الأقصى. اللهم أعد مسجد الأقصى في رحاب المسلمين. عباد الله رحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العلي العظيم يذكركم ودعوه يستجب لكم، ولذكر الله تعالى أعلى وأولى وأعز وأجل وأتم وأهم وأعظم أكبر. أقيموا الصلاة.
আল্লাহু আকবার, আল্লাহু আকবার, আল্লাহু আকবার, আল্লাহু আকবার। আশহাদু আল্লা ইলাহা ইল্লাল্লাহ, আশহাদু আল্লা ইলাহা ইল্লাল্লাহ, আশহাদু আন্না মুহাম্মাদার রাসূলুল্লাহ, আশহাদু আন্না মুহাম্মাদার রাসূলুল্লাহ। হাইয়া আলা সালাহ, হাইয়া আলা সালাহ, হাইয়া আলাল ফালাহ, হাইয়া আলাল ফালাহ। কাদ কামাতিস সালাতু, কাদ কামাতিস সালাহ। আল্লাহু আকবার, আল্লাহু আকবার, লা ইলাহা ইল্লাল্লাহ।
استقيموا صفوفكم وتراصوا. الله أكبر، الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا، إما يبلغن عندك الكبر أحدهما أو كلاهما فلا تقل لهما أف، فلا تقل لهما أف ولا تنهرهما وقل لهما قولا كريما، واخفض لهما جناح الذل من الرحمة، وقل رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. يا أيها الإنسان، ما غرك بربك الكريم،
الذي خلقك فسواك فعدلك في أي سورة ما شاء ركبك كلا بل تكذبون بالدين وإن عليكم لحافظين كراما كاتبين يعلمون ما تفعلون
الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما رب اجعلني مقيم الصلاة ومن ذريتي ربنا وتقبل دعاء ربنا اغفر لي ولوالدي وللمؤمنين يوم يقوم الحساب ربي هب لي من الصالحين ربي هب لي من الصالحين ربنا هب لنا من الصالحين اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات اللهم اغفر لأمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم أصلح لأمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم ارحم أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألت منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعان منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين